You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 25th of September. What is the concern? I got asked that question. What's your answer? Plus, Jazz players ranked in the top 30 of the NBA by ESPN, and Matt Harpering looks around the NBA. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, hopefully making a lot more fun to be a Jazz fan. Thank you all very much. We set a silly little goal. I don't know if it means anything. I just thought it'd be fun, and we did it. We crossed well over 1,000 reviews on Locked On Jazz. We're now, like, I guess I can, like, I'll make a t-shirt. I have 1,000 reviews and a 5-star average. Like, I know I actually won't. I don't really know what that was all about, but it's super fun. So thank you so much. Appreciate it. We're up at 1,141. I guess our next goal could be 55 more 5-star reviews, and then we'd actually do it. The Locked On Podcast Network logo, by the way, has the 5 stars for the 5-star review on iTunes, so I guess I should be obsessed with it. But anyway, really appreciate it. Free43 dropped a nice review saying, always high energy, generally gets me pumped for the upcoming season, so thank you very much for that. And Timothy Pearl says, let's get the season started, and I totally agree with you. I did Nate Duncan's podcast yesterday, and Nate will, for the Jazz preview, and that was, sorry, I've got a little bit of a head cold and, it just kind of kicked in right there. All right. So I did Nate Duncan's podcast yesterday, and that's his preview series he does, Dunked On. And he asked me, what is the biggest concern that I have for the Utah Jazz? And that was an interesting question. We've talked so much about everything positive. You know, what's the concern? Obviously, you have to have some. Nate at one point kind of was concerned the offense wouldn't be better near the end of the podcast. That is not on my list of concerns. I think there's a question of whether the defense can be as good, but I think that's just a question. No, truly, I have just two concerns. One is, I think to be really, really good, you've got to be older. And so we're older. And so when you're older, then you might get old, right? That's okay. Great. That's just the way it works. The next level to me is that has me concerned is actually how much everyone has to give. So when you start to look at this roster, and we haven't had this problem before, you know, a year or two ago when I ran my numbers, and I haven't run them this year yet, I'll have to do it tonight or tomorrow, and I ran my numbers on the season, there were certain teams like Minnesota that had way too many possessions. Houston had too many possessions. We had like none, right? So like if you projected us out, we were going to use 70 possessions a night and you actually have to use 100. So you were just asking everyone to use a few more. That's not that hard. You can ask everyone to use a few more. Everyone's fine with that. This roster has enough talent that virtually everyone has to give a little. And that's hard. So like, let's just, but not necessarily in who we're asking to give the most, but Mike Conley last year averaged 21 points a game, took 16 shots a night. Like, I don't know that he gets a usage rate of 27. He's at a usage rate of 24.6, 26.3, 25.9, 27.3 in 4 of his last 6 years. He had 23. It's a pretty high usage rate guy. Different roster, I got it. Different role, I got it. Maybe he's mature enough that he's going to be the easiest, but you're still asking a lot there. Okay? Donovan Mitchell, who is the best dude on the planet, I saw him and spent some time with him yesterday. He's just the best. He's, as I've said, everything that I would hope my son grows up to be. He took 20 shots a game last year. He scored 24 points. He can be the best guy on the planet. He's not giving that up. Like, he wants to be an NBA All-Star. He's got a shoe named after him. Like, he's got a lot of pressure on things he has to do. He's not giving that up. Oh, but he should. That's not how it works. His usage rate was 32. Is he willing to have it go to 30? Maybe. But that's a lot. That's an ask. How about Bojan? Boyan last year took 13 shots a game. Prior to that, year before that, he took 11. Prior to that, he took 9. He didn't sign for $17 million or whatever it is to go back to 7 shots a game. Then you go look at him, you know, post the injury. He proved he could score 20 points a game in this league last year. Right? He scored 23 in February, 22 in March, and he didn't do that by not taking shots. So here's a guy who has never been an all-star, who went from being not ranked in the top 100 into the top 50 this year with last year, and suddenly he's got to give. And you have to understand about a professional athlete that's this good. They don't actually think the giving's good for the team. They believe they can do what's good for the team. Right? Like Zach Lowe with Kevin Arnovich talked about Boston last year, where Kyrie Irving was mad because he didn't get 50 pick and rolls a game because that's what was helped the team. And his teammates were mad that he got the amount of pick and rolls he got because they wanted to help the team. Okay, so those are the big three that have to give. Jeff Green's got to give. Jeff Green's last 5 years, 29, 26 in minutes played, 29, 26, 22, 23, 27. There's probably not 27 minutes to be had here. Like, it's actually, 28, 22, 23, 27. There's probably not that there. Is there 17? Is there 18? This is a guy who's averaged double figures every year of his career but one. That's a, like, who, when I talked to him yesterday, asked him what he wanted to get better at, his comment was everything. Like, this is a striver. He talked about everything in life, everything in the floor, everything. He's got to give. Joe Ingles played 31 minutes a night each of the last few years. He's not playing 31 minutes a night. Oh, but he's Joe. Yeah, I know that's how we love Joe. And he says, Joe likes being ranked in the top 50 players in the NBA. And when he goes to 24 minutes a game again, he doesn't get ranked and averages 8-9 points a game. He doesn't get ranked in the top 100 players in the NBA. There's a lot of guys that have got to give here. Rudy's not ready to give. Rudy's trying to make an all-star team. He knows if he can get himself to 20 points a game instead of 16, he makes an all-star team. He took 8.8 shots a game last year. He doesn't want 8.8 shots. He wants a 10 or 11. So there's a lot of giving that has to be done here. Royce O'Neal has worked incredibly hard. There's no one they're talking about more about how hard he worked than Royce O'Neal. I mean, he was evidently in every day and put in the work every day. He's been in the building more than any other player on the roster. He is a incredibly physical shape right now. He is a brick at 6'6", and he is developing his game and becoming a better player, and he is a free agent. And Royce O'Neal, so far in his career, it's a lot. It's $2.1 million, but it's only $2.1 million. So when Royce O'Neal has a chance to make anywhere from 9.5 to 15, he don't want to give up either. He's not okay. Royce O'Neal's not going to be generally okay with being Royce O'Neal 20 minutes a night, do the dirty things. Like, he's going to, though I will say this, I said this about Royce last year too, and he absolutely stayed right inside his role. I just think he's ready to go. I mean, it's a compliment. None of these things are criticisms. This is a reality of personality, whether it's a salesperson, whatever it might be. Royce O'Neal's the one in the playoffs who wasn't scared. Played great. Played 30 minutes. Last three games, Royce O'Neal played 29 minutes, 33, 33. He's ready for that. Royce O'Neal, by the way, suddenly in the month of March last year to close the season, was suddenly booking at 24 minutes a game. That's what he's looking for, with shots. So there's a lot of giving that has to be done on this team. A lot. Emmanuel Mudiay. Okay, it's all great that the story is that Emmanuel Mudiay is coming to learn the game and everything. This guy took 13 shots a game last year. Played 27 minutes. Like, he's going to play 12? Maybe? Maybe 16 if he's good? 5 if he's not? Sure. I mean, he's on a minimum, right? I got it. Like, it's easy to dispose of, but it's still a problem. There's a lot of giving that has to be done on this basketball team this year. That's my point. And that's my concern. That's how could have never seen Boston going bad last year. Unless you actually ran the numbers before the season and saw they had 120 possessions. And when you have 120 possessions amongst yourself as a group, and I haven't run the Jazz numbers on this yet, and you're supposed to be at about 100 or even less, it's not that you go, oh, well, Al Horford's going to give up five. No, it's every player on the roster has to give up 20%. And then when one doesn't, somebody else has to give up 25%. That's not going to work. That's the concern. So that was my concern for Nate Duncan. I think that podcast comes out tomorrow for the Jazz preview. We got pretty detailed, a lot of geeky numbers, a lot of stuff. So make sure you grab it. Where do the Jazz players rank in the NBA ESPN top 100? And do we like their rankings? Plus Matt Harpering on the rest of the NBA. The store is now in three locations. It's at 6200 South 20th East. That's the place I've told you about so many times before. It's the great scene where you get to see all the fun high school kids helping the elderly out to their cars with their bags and taking care of everyone and get that great feeling of community. It's where you feel Utah's own. You walk in, there's the cake to floors. If you walk in on the right side, they're all right there. You turn right and you've got the local Leatherby's ice cream, and then you've got June pies set up to the side. You got the mudslide cookie right there, and then a whole case of things from local bakeries and things of that sort. And as you walk through the store, you just get the feeling of Utah's own. Well, they've replicated that in a smaller downtown version with a great hot food plates. If you're looking for lunch downtown, it's packed there for that as well. That's at the Gateway, right across from the Children's Museum, right on the same street as Vivint Smart Home Arena. That's at the Gateway. They've just kind of created the store again in a downtown. It feels cool. It kind of feels like a little bit of a big city grocery store where you're downtown and you got all you need and you're in your little compact area and they've been able to find a way to everything and you can feel it. It's pretty cool. And then there's the mini store, which is located at 9th South and 100 West. And they're all there for you. They've got their kombucha on tap for you. They got all the little things. I grabbed a deli sandwich there the other day. I'm kind of loving that spot. It's near the practice facility. Lets me grab my stuff, get to wherever I need to go. So check it all out. It's at the store, 6200 South 20th East. Also the Gateway, and also now the mini store at 900 South, 100 West, and get the mudslide cookie. It's way better than the Cookie Royale. Just trust me on that. Some people out there are lying about things like that. Top 30 through 11 players in the NBA. So 50 through 31 came in the other day. Bojan was number 48 on the list. Joe Ingles was in the 50s, I believe. So the Jazz will have, as I said, have five players in the top 50 of the NBA. So Joe came in at 62, right? The guys surrounding him were Marc Gasol and Caris LeVert. It's interesting, I'm not a Caris LeVert guy, and Buddy Hield, who I'm a huge fan of. I'm a huge Buddy Hield fan. I think he's Malcolm Brogdon. Similar players, and then there's kind of the projections on Brandon Ingram, things of that nature. So, okay, then we get to 50 to 31, and Bojan comes in at 48. Interesting, his projection for real plus minus this year is negative, which is, like, really interesting. Pelton talks about him sliding down as a wing to power forward, gives him a quickness advantage in most matchups. John Collins, young star, is at 47 around him. DeMar DeRozan at 46. It's interesting. Like, I mean, DeRozan can just put buckets up, but he's so inefficient. His real plus minus score is better. They were negative with him on the floor last year, so I kind of have a hard time with that one. Aaron Gordon at 45 is so athletic and all these. Bojan is a better player than Aaron Gordon is right now. Aaron Gordon just kind of puts up his numbers without really knowing what he's doing, which is what makes him. And Miles Turner's at 44. I mean, they're clearly projecting those guys to jump. It's also interesting, though, that their projected real plus minus wins are at 5, and Bojan's is not. Kevin Love, Zion Williamson's one of the highest rated rookies ever. We get inside the 30s. It gets interesting right around here because you have like Kristaps Porzingis and Victor Oladipo and Chris Paul. They're kind of all stars that are injured. And then you get into the real star, real kind of stars to that, and you get to Drew Holiday at 31. Drew Holiday's, so Drew, Mike Conley or Drew Holiday, they have Mike Conley at better than Drew Holiday. which I'm not going to lie to you. I thought was a little surprising. I think Drew Holiday is really, really good. Drew Holiday or Donovan Mitchell right now, I asked myself. Honestly, I mean, I think Donovan's great, but he's not that efficient. Drew Holiday is. I don't know. Donovan's carried the roster. There's a lot to it. So Devin Booker was at 30, Tobias Harris at 29, Trae Young at 28. Trae Young better than Drew Holiday right now? I'm not willing to go there unless, you know, I don't know how they're projecting these things. I mean, Trae Young looks like he's going to be super. Then Jamal Murray, I probably would have Drew Holiday above him. D'Angelo Russell at 26, I certainly would have Drew Holiday above him. De'Aaron Fox at 25, and then Mike Conley at 24. So this is a really interesting run here of point guards they have. So 31, they have Drew Holiday, 30, Devin Booker, 28, Trae Young, 27, Jamal Murray, 26, D'Angelo Russell, 25, De'Aaron Fox, who may be on a rise. He wasn't ranked last year. That's quite a jump. And Mike Conley at 24. So they have Conley above all of those guys. Then Blake is at 23, Pascal Siakam's at 22, Jimmy Butler's at 21, and Donovan's at 20. Donovan is the number three shooting guard in the NBA behind Harden and Bradley Beal. Unless I'm forgetting someone. Pretty awesome. Beal's at 19. Donovan's at 20. Donovan or Jimmy Butler? Jimmy Butler, I think, has an element of closing games and things are superior, but it's just been such a problem on the court, so I'm going Donovan. Pascal Siakam at 22, he's really great, so it'll be interesting to see whether he can exceed that. Blake last year, 25 points and 8 rebounds and 5 assists. 23 seems low, actually. 19 was Bradley Beal. 18 was Karl Anthony Towns, so they at least have the Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert numbers correctly. Kemba was at 17, so then when you're looking at these point guards, now you go to Kemba better than all of them, probably right. But we'll see this year. It's interesting to me to watch a guy like Kemba who's played in Charlotte, which is, you know, basketball obscurity, and now with the pressure on, how does he deal? I think the same thing will happen with Anthony Davis this year. We're going to find out. Luka is 16, Ben Simmons 15, Rudy Gobert is 14, and this will be no surprise to you. I think it's too low. I think it's too high. They have CJ McCollum at 13. I'm going Rudy over CJ. Just impact, like, CJ's great, but Rudy puts you, we're going to find out, in the top five defensively by being on the roster. We're going to find out. Russell at 12, I'm going Rudy. Kyrie at 11, I'm going Rudy. So I would have had Rudy at 11. I don't know the top 10 guys. You can probably figure them out. And I always have a hard time, frankly, getting Rudy into that top 10 as much as I always talk about Rudy being top 10. But that's the way, so the Jazz have, you know, this is, they'll say that we're this team without a star. Like, okay, we're loaded, we're deep, we've got great players, and we're the team without a star. I'm buying into that a little bit. And that's where I have made the comment all year long, and I made with Nate last night. The way this team is structured is that if Rudy or Donovan take another jump, they make an enormous jump. Or if Rudy shows to be so good that we're top five defensively again with Rudy, then we're a number one seed. That's the, you know, if we can do that and Rudy's that great, if we're a top five defensive team this year, then Rudy's got to be a top 10 player in the NBA. Then I don't even care who he is jumping in front of. Then he's just done it again. So we'll see. But that's the roster. Your Mike Conley's not giving you more. Boyan is not giving you more. Then Joe is not giving you more. Jeff Green's not giving you more. They're giving you what they give you. The two guys that can give you more are Rudy and Donovan. That's what's interesting. Matt Harpring will stop by and give his thoughts around the NBA as we continue. Shamrock Auto out in Pleasant Grove. That's Rob Taylor. Rob does great stuff. It's a super story, actually. Rob does a bunch of different things, didn't really like his car buying experience, so he decided to open a place in Pleasant Grove. And his goal was, how can I make it lean, efficient, and then make sure my customers are always happy? So the first thing he did was he got a long-time mechanic technician to be his buyer. So this guy goes through the cars, and then he knows exactly what he's getting with every car, and so there's no surprise there. So that's the first thing. And then they just do it. Then they just do it, right? No drama, no hassle, great pricing. Get you in any truck, any sedan. His favorites are the people who call him and say, I need this, go find it for me, and he goes and finds it, or the people that come from out of state because they've had such a great experience. Most of the cars are 6 to 12 months old, 5 to 20,000 miles, Suburbans, Yukons, big SUVs, you know, the Utah County assault vehicles that are out there for you. 80 years combined experience in the automotive business. They are going to just try to give you a lean company. So it's fewer employees, easy time for you. They get it all done for you easily. You can go read all the reviews. They're incredible. It's shamrockautogroup.com or call Rob at 801-319-2250. If there's something you're looking for, Rob will take care of you. 801-319-2250. That's 801-319-2250. Obviously, Matt, the big news as we continue the summer interview series was the LA Clippers. Is that team, do you dominate or a touch better than everyone else?
Oh, man. Clippers, they're obviously much better. Are they that much better than everyone else? No. They finished eighth last year, 48 wins. So you say, okay, where can they get to with Kawhi, Paul George, and a lot of the remaining cast still? Could they be one? Absolutely. Are they in the top three? Yes. Do I put them in my top three? If I had to pick right now, the answer would be yes.
I thought there was a butt. I thought there was a butt statement coming. I was waiting for
it. No, it was a pause. No, there's not a butt. I think Kawhi Leonard is still underrated. I know he. I know that people are like, "What are you talking about?" I think he does so many things on a basketball court, and you know, obviously he got noticed in Toronto last year and what he did in the playoffs. But you know, defensively, just his decision making. The only thing about Kawhi that you would ever question is how many games is he going to play this year?
Well, and Paul George's shoulder, the interesting one to me, when I look at the regular season versus the playoffs are such a different thing to me. I actually kind of think the Jazz, Nuggets, and Rockets are battling for the number one seed. And then I almost feel like the Clippers and somebody else are battling for the NBA, the Western Conference title. But with Paul George's shoulder and Kawhi's load management, I wonder whether the Clippers are deep enough to go grab that number one seed.
Yeah, I don't think they care if it's the number one seed. I think it's more home court because, let's face it, anytime whoever you face in the second round is and third round is, I think they would love it. But I think if I'm Doc, I'm saying get me in the top four and then let's play basketball in round two when I got a fresh Kawhi and a fresh Paul George in my team, right? I mean, in the end, when you have the playoffs, that's why you can't count out the Lakers. Because if you have two of the top five players on your team, matchups are a big reason why playoff series go the way they go. And, you know, the bench isn't as important in the playoffs because guys can play, you know, 40-some minutes a game when they need to. So I still think talent is the most important thing when it gets into playoffs. You talk titles at every position, and you know the Clippers are going to certainly have talent.
What is the two mysteries are the Lakers and the Rockets. Let's start with the Lakers. So they've got two of the top 10 players, and then their next best player is probably around 100th in Danny Green or Kyle Kuzma. What is your feeling on the Lakers, and what is your feel about LeBron's aging?
So it's been remarkable to watch LeBron, and everyone says the same thing. You know, it's got to happen at some point, but give the guy credit. I mean, it hasn't happened. Maybe you can say some people were saying I saw some cracks last year, maybe, but when he gets on the court, he's still one of the most, if not the most feared guy to guard. He does so many things, and when he wants to, now that's the thing. What I see with LeBron, he just doesn't want to a lot of nights. But when he gets in the mode of, I want to do this, he's still unguardable. And he can, you put him at the point and he can control the tempo of the game as well. And then he knows, and as smart as he is, he's going to get a good shot. You have two of those guys in the top five. You have AD, him on the team. Man, they're going to be a tough. I know some people are like, oh, the Lakers, they don't have a good supporting cast. But you just got to have some pieces when you have two great players.
The question I have on them is a little bit, I mean, I think you're absolutely, those two guys are incredible. So now the question is, you know, Anthony Davis, who is unbelievable, maybe the most talented guy in the league, and yet we've all seen him take nights off in New Orleans. Does he get away with that?
Right.
You know,
No, you can't. Right. He'll be exposed this year. This year will be interesting for Anthony Davis because in New Orleans, he's not going to have the covers that he'll have this year. You know, you can live and die with the LA coverage and it's not going to be the same. If he's not going to come out and play defense every night, it's going to show. If he's not going to play every play, it's going to show. you know, and that's where greatness separates itself to me, is the guys that can do it every night and not take the plays off. Those are the great ones. There's a lot of very good ones out there, and there's a lot of kids that have, you know, tremendous potential. AD, to me, hasn't proven anything yet. Everything has been just straight potential. You watch him play, individual size, athletic ability, what he can do on a basketball court. Can he get 40 on a night? Absolutely. But in the end, can he win? Can the Lakers win? And I think that's, at his stage of his career, that's the only answer he's trying to answer this year, in my mind.
And how does the Frank Vogel, Jason Kidd, Rajon Rondo, LeBron James chemistry all work out is another part of that team that's going to be a real mystery.
But I think we all know who the main voice is in that foursome you just mentioned there. I think LeBron has his say, and I think people listen. And I think he's proven. I'm not going to go against him because, listen, he's done it. He's proven to me that he can be a main voice in a locker room. He can be a main voice on the bench and win a title. He did it with Cleveland.
All right, the great mystery of them all is Houston. What's your thought on Russell Westbrook and James Harden together?
So that's the team I think, actually, I don't think is getting enough love. I think Houston is good this year. And no one's really talking about them coming out of the West, at least not, you know, that I've heard. I'm more scared of Houston than I was last year. I think, you know, Russell and, you know, Harden back together. You got Gordon. I mean, they got a good team. And you got D'Antoni in his system. Russ is tough in open space. We all know that. And he competes defensively. Can he take bad shots? Yeah, absolutely. Does he get crazy at times? Yes. But, man, they're going to be hard to guard.
I actually am with you, which is hard for me because it kind of defies my numbers, right? Because Westbrook is so inefficient, so my numbers don't like it.
Right.
But I'm with you. I also kind of believe if we're going to believe that Donovan's going to be better and more efficient because he's playing with space, then we got to believe the same thing about Russ and Mike's system. One, because Mike's incredible, and two, because, you know, he's been playing with Jeremy Grant, Steven Adams, Terrence Ferguson, and Andre Robertson, and now he's playing with Eric Gordon, P.J. Tucker, and James Harden, and Clint Capella. Yeah. Like, how do you guard a Russell Westbrook, Clint Capella pick and roll? For all of Westbrook's weaknesses, you go under, he turns the corner, he might beat you to that spot with that speed.
Yeah, again, they're the team I look at that I say, ooh, they're tougher than I think a lot of people are even giving them credit for. And I think secretly they know it. You know, you don't know how obviously how this plays out. But when you look at Houston and Capella, who I didn't think had a great year last year, I think that, you know, the absolute subtraction of Chris Paul is, and I love Chris Paul, and he's been great for a lot of years, but I think that helps them. And whether it was Westbrook or not, I think he was the guy that kind of just, to me, never really, I don't know. I know they were good with him and that whole group, but I just look at Westbrook now, and I think it's an upgrade. If you just look on paper, what would you rather have, Westbrook or Chris Paul? And does this make Houston a better team? I'm going with Westbrook.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. I actually have them as, I haven't run my numbers, but in my mind, I have them as the number one seed. And Denver's the other one that's really interesting. There's a lot of reasons why I can tell you that Denver just does not have things they had last year. An easy start, the motivation of losing in the 82nd game. They got incredibly lucky and clutch. On the other end, they just might be getting better. They're young, they have a heck of a lot of experience, and they might just be getting better.
You know, I totally agree with you. I don't know. To me, Denver's not a team that you get scared to play. Like, I don't ever say, oh, we got Denver tonight. You know, it's one of those, like, we can beat Denver. Like, I just don't watch them and say, wow, I have a fear of they're really, really good. But they are good. And they find ways to win, whether it's home court advantage or what. I don't know how it is, but they seem to win close games. At times they play very erratic basketball. Jokic is amazing. I love watching him play. But at times I just watch, I'm like, they just don't seem elite. But then you look at the end of the year and they're 54 wins. They're second in the West. And you say, well, did they get better this year? Well, yeah, they're probably going to be better than they were last year. So you can't discount them either.
Well, all interesting stuff. Matt, we appreciate the time so much. We look forward to seeing you here shortly when the preseason gets going. I think we see you in what, the 16th of October? Is that when we get our Matt Harpering arrival, or do you come sometime sooner than that?
I think it's the Portland game, the last preseason game.
Is
that the 16th?
Yep.
Okay.
So
okay,
less than a month away. Look forward to spending time with you. Some good basketball talks. We'll try to get one thing fans have asked for is more Harpering Bowler kind of roundabout conversations. We'll try to get those more to everyone.
Great. Hey, David, thanks for having me on.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Hope everyone in the house feels better. That is the great Matt Harpering. He'll be with you on Jazz TV all year long. This has been Locked on Jazz.